Lord is good. Everybody say, the Lord is good. His mercy endures forever. Thank you, Father. Lord, you direct this morning. Let your spirit speak. Let it be revealed. Thank you, Damien, for what you shared. That meant so much to my heart. Because one of the things that I endeavor to do, and I'm sure you do as well, is that we become the representation of the Word of God, not just speaking about the Word. But the Lord said that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. It's pretty daunting when we think about that. Really, that's supposed to happen in the hour that we live, the Word becoming flesh again upon the earth. How many are open, receptacle to that happening to you? Amen? God has the power by His Word to create in you something that no person could believe, something beyond our imagination, beyond our faith even, the ability of God to create something in us that really becomes a representation of His very person upon the earth. Say this with me. I want to represent the Lord well. But more importantly than represent the Lord well, you want to become like Him. See, it's one thing to say, well, there's Jesus. Look at how wonderful He is. But the day will come when the church will say, look here, this Christ is in me. This Christ is manifesting through me. And in the process of this happening, it's important as you move into maturity that you understand that maturity begins with understanding and knowledge of the difference between your spirit and your soul and your body. How many have heard of spirit, soul, and body? We're a triunity, aren't we? We're a three-part being. Yet it didn't all start out that way. When God created Adam and Eve, they weren't even in the concept of three parts. They were just one being. They were just one expression of God to the earth. It was only through the separation, through the fall, through man's sin, that separation took place between man and God. So it changed the whole game. Because now, instead of being just created in His image and being simply an extension of who He was, they became a separate faction. They became someone that was estranged from the presence of the Lord. And so we know when Christ came, His purpose was to bring unity. His purpose to bring the uniting together of man and God in such a way that there's back to that place where there's one expression. We don't have an expression of man and we have an expression of God, but now we have one expression. We have one manifestation of God upon the earth, one will. That's what the scripture says. There's one Lord. There's one faith. There's one baptism. We're all one together. Amen? Who are we one with? We're one with God. We're one with one another. How do we love? We love God and we love one another. So it becomes this pure expression of God to the earth. You know, I find that in my own life, I go through this time that something must be reminded in my heart of the difference between who I am as a natural man and who I am as a spiritual man. I can only tell you, I get very discouraged when I only see my natural man. Amen. Because my natural man is still fraught with many times disappointing things. I get very discouraged when I see sometimes my natural path. And I understand what David meant when he said, I have to encourage myself in the Lord. It's what Paul meant when he said, when I'm weak. And see, one of the things that we understand about Paul was in his identification with Christ was so absolute that he not only saw the weakness of Christ, he became that weakness himself. And so when I look at who I am versus who he is, I understand that it's not him trying to just come make me a better person, but he's literally trying to transform me into his image. He's trying to bring me up out of this place to where my natural man does no longer control who I am. My natural feelings and emotions no longer dictate the condition that I'm in. And so when I find my condition not being in alignment with what God is, who God is, see, because I'm always looking to this perfect place. The kingdom of God is perfection. And so even though I'm so far removed from that perfection, I never lose sight of what the perfection is. So when you keep the perfection before you, then it always serves to lead you into a path of transition and transformation. If you look to something unperfect, then you're really in trouble. So you keep looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of your faith. You keep, as Paul said, I keep running this race. I keep pressing towards the mark of the call of God in Christ Jesus. I keep reaching to this place of perfection because only in my reaching to it do I begin to obtain it. It begins to become part of who I am. The scripture says, be you perfect, even as he's perfect. Hallelujah. Woo. Now I can say by grace this morning to all of you, hey, you perfect ones, right? Because that's in the will of God. But just because I say you're perfect doesn't mean you've experienced the perfection. The experience of the perfection comes with your willingness to partake of the process of perfection. Amen? You know, I read the scripture last week when Paul said, I like this scripture, my little children, for whom I labor in birth again until Christ is formed in you. So here we have Paul laboring in birth. Have you ever been around labor? If you're a husband, it's a good place to stay away from. Because the wife blames you ultimately, right? So what does you have to do with it, huh? But anyway, we're laboring, he's laboring together in birth. It's like it said that in Romans 8, the whole creation groans, waiting for the revealing of the sons of God. You may not be aware of it fully, but you all are in a labor room. And you're all in the process of this Christ being birthed through you, revealed through you. The whole world, in fact, is on notice. They're waiting. They've already got the cigars ready to go. They say on the outward cover, not a boy, not a girl, the Christ. Amen. Is ready to be birthed upon the earth. We're all waiting eagerly, anticipating this great birthing of the body of Christ. This great unveiling of the kingdom of God, where once again upon the earth, there's this perfect manifestation and representation of God, just as it was in the beginning with Adam, that God created man and woman in his whole image. Wow. Truly in that day, God could say, if you've seen them, you've seen me, because they're in my exact image. Don't you want that really in your heart? Don't you really cry in your spirit that, Lord, let there be in me this thing that people say, there he is. Not in the sense of saying, well, look at us, because we know that the pathway to this expression is a pathway of lowliness. It's what he said, I am meek. Jesus himself was meek and lowly of all men. He was humble of all men. He humbled himself, became obedient, even to the point of death, death on the cross. So the pathway to the throne was a pathway of humility. And it's the same pathway for you and I. This pathway that we seek is not some grandioso Christian expression to where we win the popularity contest. It's not some deal where all of a sudden we're elevated into some high, lofty place of ministry that other people admire. It's not what it is to become like Christ. It's to follow the pathway that so God can create himself in us. Amen. We can become his expression, not the expression of what we think we should be, but what he wants us to be. It's never what you seek in the externals, but it's what is created in the internal. It's Christ in you. The kingdom of God is within you. And it's among us right now. Wow. Woo. So when we look at the spirit, we look at the soul, we look at the flesh. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23 says, "Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely." What's the definition of sanctification? Being set apart, being brought into this place to where you're simply brought into a whole different environment. You're sanctified. You're separated for a purpose. The reason why separation comes is to fulfill a purpose. So when we're sanctified by God, we're brought out and we're brought into this place, this unique place, to where now God can do the work that he intends to do in us. One of the things that I find in my own life, you might not find this in your life, but I find in my own life how much I often resist this process of sanctification. Because there's something in my old nature, you understand that the old nature is the soul of man is the volition of man, the mind of man, the emotion of man. Now, is the soul important to man? Yeah. It's essential to man. Because it's only through the soul can the spirit be revealed. So if you have a body with no soul, you don't have much, right? When the soul departs and you have a body, you just have a hunk of flesh that ultimately becomes dust again. The spirit that we have, we all have a spirit, but the spirit really becomes only relevant in the regenerational process, where the spirit is born again because of our faith in Christ. And the same spirit that dwells in him will also then dwell in us. The spirit of Christ will be in us. So let's look at a light bulb. A light bulb has a container. It has a, what's the inside part called?
Filament.
And so the filament, when it's plugged into electricity, produces
light.
You win the prize. Produces light, right? So you plug in a light bulb and all of a sudden light comes out. It's the same thing with us. When we connect with God, then the light is the soul. It's the expression of God revealed through us. So when I reach into the presence of the Lord, that's why his presence is so essential. What do we have if we don't have his presence? We have a dead light bulb. No good, right? His presence ignites and reveals through your soul his nature. As I'm speaking to you this morning, I'm speaking to you in spirit, but I'm also speaking to you in soul, because my spirit is speaking through my soul. When you see my animation and my emphasis and the thing that I put forth out of me, that's being put forth by spirit, but it's through my soul. That's why someone says, "Well, I'm really anointed of God," but then they, brethren, would you turn to the book of John, chapter 1, verse 2? In the beginning was God, and God was with the Word. And there's no expression. Amen? It's like in worship. Well, I'm just going to worship the Lord. There's no expression. You're not connecting with the Spirit. When you connect with the Spirit, you go, "Oh, glory to God." That's where the shouting comes. That's where the dancing comes. That's where the joy comes. that because you've plugged in to the anointing of God and your soul doth magnify the Lord.
Come on.
Woo. So the word comes. Where does the prophetic word come from? Oh, let me see in my mind. I'm thinking, what should I prophesy? No, you reach into the Lord. Then all of a sudden, this soul that submitted itself to God. See, the soul submits itself. So this volition, his will, we submit our will. We submit our emotions. We submit our minds to God. Then all of a sudden, God transforms that. Makes that expression an expression of him to the earth. Jesus cried out with a loud voice. And we need more loud voices in this hour. We need more men and women of God standing for the truth. The devil is a liar. See, the devil comes to attack your mind. See, in the spirit, the spirit is the realm of consciousness and the realm of intuition. And then the mind or the soul is the realm of knowing. And when you bring the consciousness of God into this realm of your spirit, then it can begin to become the instructor of that which has been put into your mind. You study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman. Yes, you apply knowledge, and knowledge produces wisdom. But it only comes forth in the spiritual sense as your spirit man is connected to the Lord.
That's right.
Amen? So when you turn to the Lord, wow. So this week I'm going through this time. Maybe you call it old age depression. And don't laugh at it until you get my age. You'll understand a little bit about it. There's something about your age, and you get this age, and I won't tell you how old I am because you should guess.
40.
I heard 55. No, no. There's something about you've invested everything of your life into one course, and then your mortality begins to enter your mind and thinking, well, you know, but I've got years left, but there's not really, huh? You see somebody 90 years old and say, my God, I'll be that in 18 years, you know? So you're thinking, wow. And so there tends to be this depression that comes because you begin to see that things will change in your life, but then all of a sudden you realize that what you're feeling is not the reality. Yes, things change, and yes, things may go different directions as you grow older, but there's nothing that will change drastically in your life unless you're separated from the source of power. Amen? Reaching into the presence of the Lord and this enemy that comes to battle our mind. You see, when old man, what was his name, Clark, was here? Otis Clark. He was 108 years old. He sat up here on this platform. This is how many years ago? 10? I guess at least. We had a lot of people. And the children would come. And they'd sit on his leg. And he spent a couple hours. And he'd just look at them and he said, God loves you. The devil is a liar. God is the truth. And over he'd say that to the kids. The devil is a liar, and God is the truth.
Yes.
And I thought, well, you know, anyone could say that. And maybe he's just saying that because he's old and he's run out of things to say, you know. But it was profound. Because when we realize that this battle of the mind is the only way that the devil has influence over you is to influence your mind. And try to convince you something different than what God is speaking. He's the father of lies. In fact, the only power he has is the power of influence. I don't believe for one minute I can walk down the road today and all of a sudden the devil's going to pop up out of a bush and stab me in the heart and kill me dead. That ain't going to happen. There ain't no devil in the hell that could walk through that back door right now and walk up to this platform and take any kind of authority in this place. He wouldn't even make it through the door. Before I'd point my finger at him, he'd run screaming. Amen. He is a paper tiger. He only works by illusion and deception. That's why in the last days it said, it'll please God to crush Satan underneath your feet. Underneath your feet. There's no fear of the devil. The fear is in accepting the lie that he speaks to you. Oh, the demons are going to get me. No, they ain't. Your mind will get you, but the demon ain't getting you. Amen. Guard your minds. Guard your minds. Put on the helmet of salvation. Don't allow the enemy to penetrate you and to cause you to walk in the opposite direction what God is speaking. Hallelujah. Now you're getting me stirred up. But it pleased God to bruise Satan underneath your feet. Jesus said, I'm the way, I'm the truth, and I'm the life. I've come to give you life, and I've come to give you life more abundantly. How many want the more abundant life? Amen. Well, sometimes, like this week, I'll just take the life. Amen. Tack on the abundant part later, Lord. Just give me some life. Hallelujah. Just give me some life. The Spirit of God. See, I've got my light bulb plugged in this morning. Woo. You see, when you take some water and you pour dye in it, you have two substances, but it becomes out, the third substance is called ink. When you put God into you, when you put the Spirit in you, this body and this soul become a whole brand new creation, a brand new expression. Brand new expression. Did you know that you could be brand new today? All you've got to do, turn your eyes, turn your heart to the Lord. And you become brand new. Transformation is a quick process. I was talking to Joe the other day. We were talking about that. And, you know, I can go through this period. I can go through hours. I can go through days. And I just go through this, oh, agony and defeat, deepest misery. And all it takes is one to turn my chair and look, there he is. And pow, bam, ooh, he comes. He's there the moment I turn to him. The very instant that I look for his face, I see his face. The very time I put my hand out, he grasps it. The very time I open my arms, he embraces me. The very moment I confess, he forgives me. There's no gaps in this process unless I create them. He's there in the moment of a twinkling of an eye. Ooh. You come up transformed in the moment of a twinkling of an eye. That's pretty fast transformation, isn't it? Boop, twinkle your eye. That's how fast you transform. Glory to God. You know, Hebrews 4:12, I love this scripture. And I'm not going to get to any depth this morning on what I was going to speak about. Because I didn't know what I was going to speak about when I got up here. Okay. Yeah, sure. I told her, I don't know what I was talking about this morning. It says in verse 12 of chapter 4, Hebrew, for the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Have you ever been around a razor-sharp knife? I mean, you even touch it. It cuts you. A little blood come out. Just touch it. Barely touch it. I mean, there's knives. Travis will tell you. There's knives that are as sharp as razors. I mean, you can take, shoop, boop, take a watermelon, shoop, boop, it's gone. It's cut right in half. And they said the word of God's that way. It's so sharp that it's like when the priests would come and they would dissect the offering. So they cut down to the very joint and in the very marrow. In other words, they get to the very deep, detailed depth of butchery. Everybody say butchery. So when the word of God comes, it's like that sharp two-edged sword. It divides to the very joint and to the very marrow and to the very intents of the heart. Because what God does through his word, by his spirit, is to reveal the very motives of who we are. Because it's only in the exposure of the deception can the truth come forth and be revealed through us. That's why you've got to quit trying to protect yourself so much. Quit trying to put on the front. Just be who you are. Being a Christian is the most natural process there is. There's nothing spooky about it. There's nothing mystical about it, even though we have a mystical experience. It doesn't have to be that way. Just the honesty. That's what David said, Lord, create in me a clean heart, O God. Try me and see if there be any wicked way within me. It's that simplicity of coming before God with honesty, saying, Lord, let your knife come. Because I want you to separate this deception from the truth that you're trying to reveal in me. I want you to take away this soulish expression and let my soul be a pure expression of your spirit. I want you to take away this mindset that has alienated with me between you and me and alienated me between me and my brothers. And cleanse me of that, Lord. Amen. The thing is, we don't have to run around and hide from God. He knows everything anyway. I mean, it's amazing how grace works. Grace is able to see every deficiency at the same time make provision beyond it. Every time you failed, the Lord always has a pathway of victory for you. Amen. How many times will you fail and God will quit? How many times will you sin and God not forgive? It's not something we want to say, okay, let's try it out. But you know as well as I do that we're messes. So what do we do about it? We just keep coming and presenting ourselves time and again. Lord, to the sword. Let the sword come. Let the purity come. Let the perfection be in me. Let it become in me, Lord. Let it be established in me. Then all of a sudden you wake up one day and you have that victory. You've overcome. Amen? All of a sudden one day you say, I have overcome. I've overcome with him. That's been worked in my spirit. The wicked one now cannot touch me ever again in that place. And you don't say that in arrogance or pride. You say it in humility of knowing that that thing that's been produced in you wasn't produced in you by you, but it was produced in you by him. The spirit of Christ that raised, the spirit of the Father that raised him from the dead shall also quicken your mortal body and resurrect you into this glorious image. Lord, let it be that next Sunday I wake up and say, I don't know what I'm going to preach. Ooh. I mean, the Lord just uses the biggest dummies. He chooses the unwise and the unlearned and the ignorant. He chooses those that have no qualifications. He chooses those that have no righteousness. He chooses those that have nothing to bring to him except saying, Lord, here I am. Plug me in and light me up. Amen. Lord, plug me in, Lord, and light me up. Woo. The more that I am, the less you are. The less that I am, the more you are. The weaker I am, the stronger you are. The poorer I am, the richer you are, oh God. You're everything. You're everything I need. You're all that I seek. You're all that I love. You're all that I cry out for. You are the one, oh God. You're the one. You're the one. Nothing but the one for me. Glory to God. Oh, Lord. Let us choose this day your spirit. Choose your life. Choose your heart. Choose your love. There's no one like in our God. no one like our God.